fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chests. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the very first day of February. The prepper tip today is to inspect your emergency shelter. What does that mean? Well, it means go there to wherever it is, maybe at your home, a remote location. Make sure the structure is good and solid, the roof is not leaking, whatever supplies you have in there are in good condition, ready to be used, and so forth. It's going to be different things for different people. We had Jeff Nyquist with us a moment ago. We lost the connection with Jeff. We don't know what happened. Maybe something came up with Jeff, and hopefully he'll be able to call back in here. In the meantime, we'll go to open lines at 512-248-8252. Let's see the current news at... one of my favorite places to get the news, thelibertydaily.com. I say again, thelibertydaily.com. Here's one of the headlines. Court slaps down California's attempt to muzzle doctors who dissent from COVID groupthink. And it looks like Jeff Nyquist is back. Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning.
Okay. Are you there, sir? I heard good morning, but it got cut off. Hello, Jeff. Can you hear me? Looks like we're having some technical issues with Jeff Nyquist. And we're going to get reconnected with Jeff here. We use Skype to do our shows. 95% of the time, Skype works perfectly. Sometimes it doesn't. And this is one of those times when it doesn't, unfortunately. I've known Jeff Nyquist for about 18 years or so. Started interviewing him about 18 years ago. His website's jrnyquist.blog. I say again, jrnyquist.blog. We hear you now, Jeff. Good morning, sir.
Okay. Yeah.
I was just giving out your website, jrnyquist.blog, and letting people know I've known you about 18 years or so when I began interviewing you here on Republic Broadcasting. Jeff has 6 books for sale at Amazon.com, and he's done something very few men or women have ever done. Sent across the interview table from high-ranking KGB defectors. That's a very, and I have another guest, my Monday guest, who's done the same thing, Mr. Sam Andrews, but not as many KGB guys as you. But that's where the real information comes from, doesn't it, Jeff?
Well, some does, yeah. I mean, people who've worked inside enemy or foreign intelligence services or militaries and have secret information in defect know things that you won't find in the newspapers.
Absolutely. Well, Jeff, I should mention that on the first day of February, 1968, I had not had any sleep for 3 days. It was the third day of the Tet Offensive. And I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the men in my outfit, who were the warriors were, who the cowards were. I learned a lot about the U.S. Army, who had not prepared properly for the Tet Offensive, despite knowing that it was coming. And I also found out something else. I found out what it means to be hungry for John Moore. What it means to be hungry then and now is two things. One, not having food. The other, having angry men that want to kill me between myself and where the food is. So it was a great wake-up call and a great education, don't you think, sir?
Well, yeah, war is an educator of men.
It is. It is. You got a question or comment for Jeff Nyquist? Just give us a call at 512-248-8252. Well, Jeff, yesterday during the roundtable, we found that all of us were in agreement that World War III is a definite possibility and that people should be aware of that and plan accordingly, shouldn't they, sir?
Yeah, people should plan, but of course, how do you plan for such an event? It's very difficult. We have to go through things. The only way we can survive is as a community, you know, there's no man's an island. And the real problem that we have is that we don't all agree as a country.
Well,
and we have most of the people in the United States are disoriented. They're not oriented towards being Americans, what their traditions are, what, you know, we're 31 flavors of different narratives who don't agree. And that's a problem.
Well, we can't, you and I and our listeners, the majority of our listeners can't change things at the national level or state level. But we, as individuals, we can have a positive impact on our communities we live in, can't we, sir?
Well, we'd like to think so, but I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you what I've done.
People are talking, you know, we have this round when every time Putin threatens nuclear war. The thing is, when they actually go to war is not going to be when they're telling us in that moment. Just like the Tet Offensive was supposed to be a surprise, and people didn't want to believe it. The best thing in warfare, and this is what a Russian defector, military defector, told me, was the number one thing for victory is surprise. So when they're telling you they're coming, that's not when they're coming. It's when they don't tell you you're coming and everybody's saying, oh, no, they're not coming. So that's one observation. I think someone in the roundtable yesterday said that Ukraine was going to be defeated in 30 days. I remember Douglas MacGregor on day 10 of the war said, oh, yeah, the war is going to be over in 10 more days. It's all over. Ukraine is defeated. Now it's nearly a year later. I don't think the war is going to be over in 30 days because it's winter. And I don't think there is anything going to happen decisively here until you get to better weather. But that's just my opinion.
Well, Jeff, I don't know about all wars, but in many wars, this population believed the war would be a quick and war which would be ended relatively quickly. Is that a fair assessment of the belief of many countries going into war initially?
Well, that's not really belief. That's hope.
Hope. Okay.
You know, people hope that it's going to be over quickly. Nobody knows. Thing about wars is that you don't know what it's going to be like until you're in it, and then you don't know exactly where it's going. And there are some wars that are quick, or some battles that are quick, that end wars. In France in 1940, the Germans defeated them in a matter of weeks. They attacked on May 10th, 1940, and France had surrendered was basically over by the end of June. Right. And so it didn't last long. The Battle of Britain turned out differently. The invasion of Russia turned out differently. You know, so it's there are these prolonged things where both sides, there's a kind of a balance that keeps it going. Both sides are relatively evenly matched in their abilities. And of course, in warfare, the defender is typically stronger than the attacker in terms of, you know, you need more force to overcome defense than the defender needs to hold.
Roger that. That's
generally
well known.
How it works, and especially with modern weapons that are so devastating to anyone advancing, you know, over open ground especially.
Absolutely. Jeff, we got our first caller here. We got John in Texas. Good morning, John.
Hello. I have been listening to Scott Ritter, and he keeps bringing up the specter of nuclear annihilation. Nuclear annihilation has been a great psychological throat lock on everybody. Have the effects of nuclear weapons, as suggested by G. Edward Griffin, even as far back as 1968 or 69, been exaggerated in any sense? I mean, the case of on the beach, but have there? But others, like, have written books, short paperback books about it, say that it is not the long-term effects of nuclear warfare that are the most to be feared. It is the short-term effects of nuclear, and most of the experts agreed with them, and that radiation was not the biggest problem. It would be mostly dissipated in most places in about 2 weeks. But what is your take on it? What is your information about it? And have
we
been misled in any
nuclear
way?
I mean, nuclear war. I mean, look, we have a very vulnerable form of society. You have the EMP effect. You've got this power grid that we absolutely refuse to harden. So the real danger is that in a nuclear war, they're going to target your oil refineries, and you're going to be without gasoline. So your cars aren't going to be able to move. So then you have the danger of starvation because you can't get food into the stores, right? Because you've arranged everything a certain way. Our society is not arranged for war. You know, if this was 1910 and most people lived on farms, there would be no problem. Nuclear war would not. You know, they just wipe out a few cities and attack some military bases, and that would be, most people wouldn't be affected at all. But because we are so dependent on advanced structures, there's an economic effect, which is extremely bad. Now, the other effect is you're in a war like that, it's going to interrupt all the trade on the high seas. So that's going to disrupt. There's countries that specialize in growing, you know, cash crops that you can't eat, like coffee, right, or tea, or tobacco, or whatever, you know, things that they can't eat. So, and they're used to trading ships from, you know, they specialize countries more and more. So then you have these imbalances, so that what you end up with is starvation, global starvation. So, like, if you had a major nuclear war between the U.S. and the Soviet Union in the 1980s, you would have a massive die-off around the world because of the destruction of the economic system, the global economic system that was in place at the time. And that's not caused by radiation. That's just the kind of disruption of daily life that would be involved. You know, the United States, for example, has been the hub of the global economy. You know, if you have currencies crashing all over the place, and economic arrangements disrupted, contracts disrupted. Now what do? I'm not going to be paid for shipping this thing or to growing this crop. So what happens? And that's that's the bad part. Now the good part is if the leaders of the countries practice have sound economic practices and they're able to keep order in their countries, the economies will recover very quickly, and you can return to normal. And it's surprising, Herman Kahn in 1960, they did a study, the RAND Corporation, working for the Air Force. Nuclear war in 1976 with all the arsenals that they would have at the time, and they knew what they were going to be building. Every urban area in the United States destroyed, and they said in 5 years the economy and the standard of living in the U.S. would recover within 5 years, minus some luxury goods. You can go read the study today. It's still in you know, you can probably buy it on Amazon, on thermonuclear war. Herman Kahn led the study. So it's not what people wanted to hear, because they want to believe the weapons are so terrifying no one will ever use them. The problem is it isn't quite the truth.
And the Soviets, do they have any countermeasures to EMP in place?
Well, Russia is one of the countries, like I think Sweden and some of the Scandinavian countries, some of the Nordic countries have hardened their their grid. And the secret is not having everything so interconnected that if one thing goes down, they all go down. So I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on that, how it works, but I understand that Russia's grid is got measures in it to protect it.
And Ritter is one of the people that's still pushing this idea that if we don't end nuclear weapons or do everything to avoid nuclear war, it's going to mean you're going to kill everybody.
Yeah, that's crazy. I mean, I've listened to Scott Ritter. He's not knowledgeable, in my opinion, and he seems to be shilling for Russia. So that's not appreciated either. It's a good thing to be objective with your information and not try to manipulate your audience. We don't really know the future. Nuclear war could be very bad in terms of what it would disrupt for the country attacked. That's why it's important to have food and water set aside, so that if there is an interruption in that. You know, one of the main targets in a nuclear war would be the oil refineries in the country. And, of course, you have certain infrastructure go down. It's not easy to rebuild it. It depends on who's helping you. And nobody really knows what people are capable of in terms of rebuilding quickly. I mean, like these studies, ingenuity is the mother of invention. So there's a lot of unknowns. The studies like the Herman Kahn study, I mean, they were looking at the country, what the country was like 50 years ago, you know, approximately what happened. It is, for those of us that lived in the 1960s and 70s, there are things we're now dependent on that are more vulnerable than anything we had back then, like our computers, the electronics that everything runs on, the AI and all that. That's something we've become dependent on, and as far as national defense goes, that's not good. That has not been a good development.
Anything else, John?
Okay, if the general public, in 1987 there was a book out called Surviving a Nuclear War that said that at the time the losses to our population could, at that time, a nuclear war could result in the loss of 44% of our population. But it would not be the end. And, in fact, there were studies done that said that if half the people were killed or died as a result, the other half wouldn't just roll over and give up and die themselves. Life would continue
anyway.
Yeah,
that's not likely to happen.
What's not likely?
The people who are alive are going to give up. Just because, you know, they've been attacked and they're suffering. We've seen modern countries hit by the equivalent of what would be a nuclear attack, and the people, you know, they cope with it.
Okay, who has an interest?
Hold on, John. We'll get back to your comments. We have another caller on hold. We'll get back to your comments after the break.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S Secret.com.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, down there on my forgotten look away. In Dixie's land, where I was born in early on one frosty morning. Look away, look away, look away, Dixie land. Then I wish I was in Dixie. Hooray, hooray. In Dixie's land, I'll take my stand and live and die in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie. Away, away, away down south in Dixie.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Visiting with Jeff Nyquist. His books for sale at Amazon.com. His website's jrnyquist.blog. Jeff, before I get to back to your comments with John from Texas, how can people subscribe to your website, sir?
Well, there's a PayPal button beneath every video or article.
All right.
They can support the site.
All right. Did you have any further response to John from Texas?
Nuclear war is a difficult thing, and it's used mostly so far. It's been used to scare people into something called appeasement. And we had the nuclear freeze movement in the 1980s. We were shown TV shows like The Day After showed how horrible nuclear war would be or the effects of radiation to scare people so that the U.S. would not deploy Pershing missiles in Europe, saying that it would cause a nuclear war. Well, it didn't cause a nuclear war. And of course, the Soviet Union played this game of liberalizing, and it gave up a lot of countries to then infiltrate us when we thought it was gone. But there was no nuclear war. There was another game going on. And now we're being threatened again. with nuclear war. And the thing is that nuclear war is a rational thing when it comes to it. The side that decides to start it is going to start it because they think they can win. And they're only going to think they can win if you don't, if you're not ready and you don't have weapons that can hit them back with. And that's the the short version.
All right. John, we need to move on. We do thank you for your call, sir. Great call, by the way. Our next caller is Kyle in Montana. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, gentlemen. Jeff, I got a question for you. You know, in a grid down, you know, if they took out with an EMP the entire grid, the thing mm-hmm. that concerns me more than anything is the nuclear reactors that we have spotted all over the country. There's two in California, one in Washington. If those things were to go to Chernobyl, because of the trade winds, the main winds blowing, from the north and west a lot, but also mostly west, from west to east, coming in that way, I was wondering, in that study, 1976 study you were talking about, did they take in, they probably didn't have this many nuclear plants, but what did, do you remember what their assessment of nuclear plants going, boom,
Well, they didn't know very much about EMP in 1960.
Okay.
The effect was discovered. Wondering. We discovered the effect with one of those specific nuclear tests. It knocked out. It knocked out the lights in Hawaii, and they like what was going on with that. And the Russians, the Russians I think discovered it before we did. And of course, with nuclear plants, it's I've talked to different people. They have fail safes in nuclear plants where theoretically the plant, they can shut down the reactor, pretty quickly. But there's a question about these protocols, and nobody that I've talked to really knows the answer about whether the existing coolant in the system without it circulating is sufficient for during the reactor core, cooling. And it's very hard to know. But there is a concern. People that have been in the industry that I've talked to say that unless they drill, and they don't really stay drilled, if they drill on their procedure, they can shut it down safely. But if they're just a few minutes slow, they could have it melt down. That's what I've been told. So it's a very difficult area. One of the reasons why, Peter Pry, I discussed this with him, and he was concerned about the nuclear plant meltdown problem. And he said, well, it may be one of the reasons why the Russians didn't do this to us. Because one of the problems, nuclear power plants are fission, and fission is dirty. Hydrogen bomb is a fusion bomb. It's very clean. But this is why the fission bombs, before we had the hydrogen bomb, all those fission nuclear tests put out into the atmosphere more long-term isotopic radiation than a full-blown nuclear war with hydrogen bomb using tens of thousands of warheads, believe it or not. So, and this is one of those little factlets that, usually baffle most laymen. But like I said, it's fusion is clean, fission is dirty, and nuclear power plants are fission. So there's a lot of bad material. There could be more, nuclear material in a couple of nuclear power plants in a full-blown nuclear war. And if you get, I think Fukushima's probably released more into the Pacific Ocean than a full-blown nuclear war would, since that melted down. So if you have, there's like 100 nuclear power plants in Canada and the U.S., if those melted down, I don't know the exact number.
Hold on, Jeff. Yeah. We'll finish this comment after the break. We'll be right back.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people.
because you can handle the truth.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. While we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country, here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store, or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Home is where the hearth is. In days gone by, the hearth was the center of the home, a social place where the family would come together to spend time and cook. The warmth of the Liberator rocket stove makes a house feel like a home. So, welcome home. 100% American made, the Liberator rocket stove heats for a fraction of the cost of other methods. Your home can be safely heated with firewood or wood pellets. The Liberator rocket heater is waiting to be part of your home. This unit ships directly to your door, or you can save $300 with a factory pickup. To order, go to my website, TheLibertyMan.com. That's TheLibertyMan.com.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They got to be tired, the Revs. They got to be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. My website is thelibertyman.com. We have put my YouTube archives back up and running last week. We found out that I'm being censored again. We're going to look into trying to fool the AI so that they won't censor my shows. Anytime I talk about COVID-19, the clot shots, they censor me and won't let me post those shows. So we'll look into that, or we'll just drop YouTube altogether for archives. But in the meantime, we've got the RBN archives. We have BitChute. We have Facebook. We have Brighteon, soon to have Rumble back again, and Patreon. So we'll get the word out there one way or the other. At my website, we now have back up and running the latest intelligence briefing put together by a friend of mine I met while I was working on a murder case. He's got a PhD, bright fellow. It's a lot of work to put together the latest intelligence briefing. And, of course, the very nice three-bedroom home in Bismarck, Missouri, about a 40-minute drive from me, a double lot in the small community of Bismarck, 1,600 people, which is undergoing a renaissance of new shops and stores opening up in the downtown area, which is just a short walk from the very nice home in Bismarck, Missouri, that's for sale right now. I was just over there yesterday cleaning up some limbs that came down from the last snowstorm. Great place, ready to move in and live in, or rehab if you choose to. So check out the Energy Cleaner at my website if you got issues with arthritis. What are you waiting for? Seriously, get your life back. Get an Energy Cleaner mattress pad to go with it. You'll be very glad you did at thelibertyman.com. Billing with Jeff Nyquist. His website is jerrynyquist.blog. His books are sale at Amazon. And the break cut you off, Jeff, as you were giving your response to Kyle there.
Yeah. one piece of information that, you know, he's trying to ask about what the effects would be. He'd be interested to know that in the late 80s, the Soviet Union developed a super EMP weapon. And they were very, you know, this is a weapon that the EMP is so powerful that it would go through a missile silo and disable the warhead components of the nuclear missile warhead underground. That's what their goal was in making this weapon, so that it would be the ultimate first strike weapon that they could drop over North America and basically disarm everything. The main problem, of course, is submarines under the water, unless they had their buoys up, would not be affected by it. But they became concerned about this nuclear plant meltdown effect. So what they did is they studied it, and evidently the Soviet generals determined that the nuclear plants in the U.S., most of them would melt down. At least that's what they thought, because they did a study of our groundwater, which really surprised me, and we know this from defector sources. They studied our water table, where the radioactivity would go under the water, because if you've got all these plants melting down, the radioactivity, what it really does is it goes into the groundwater. And of course, under every state is a water table where you get your well water. This is how we water crops, and it's basically essential, you know, that water table. So they studied the aquifers, and there are a few places in North America, like there's a place I was told in Pennsylvania where the aquifer would take the radioactivity out of the water. But in most places, the well water would be radioactive in terms of having isotopes, and it would be unusable. So that much of North America that would be affected by it, and it would be a patchwork of areas that would be affected, these areas, you couldn't do agriculture. People couldn't really live there. And so a lot of North America would be rendered, you know, uninhabitable for hundreds, probably thousands of years.
Well, that would
really there happens to be a. I'll tell you the story. There's a guy that just moved here who is a retired nuclear guy, sort of like your Steve guy. And anyway, part of his job was to travel from nuclear plant to nuclear plant in the United States and do some sort of training. He was never very specific about that. I don't know him extremely well. But he said one of the reasons he moved to Northwest Montana was because, in his opinion, if there ever was a nuclear EMP, that this country would be lucky to be able to shut down 10% of them in time. That was his estimation.
Go ahead.
Well, anyway, he was saying that the exact same thing that you did, that it would ruin the aquifer underneath the differing states. And the aquifer here in Northwest Montana is different, according to him, that it comes, the only thing that concerned him somewhat was I think there's six nuclear reactors in Canada. But he said the way the winds would blow most of the time would take most of any fallout towards the Great Lakes and, you know, Minnesota, that area. But that you would survive in like Northwest Montana, Eastern Washington slightly, depending on where the wind was blowing at the time, if the Washington State reactor were to go. But he said that his chances and the probability of survival was really high, which is why he moved here. But anyway, go ahead.
Yeah. It is a question. We don't know. It's like, I know a guy in the nuclear industry that that he talks to them, and when this danger of when the Ukraine invasion happened, he was on the phone. You know, you guys got to do your drills. You got to be ready to shut these plants down quickly if there's a war. You know.
Yep. All right. That's all I got, John. Thanks.
Okay. Thanks for the call, Kyle. Our next caller is Dan in Michigan. Good morning, Dan.
Hello. Can you hear
me? You're on the air, Dan. Go ahead.
Good. I might recommend a novel I read about 50 years ago or 40 or something like that. It was called A Last Babylon. It was on nuclear war.
Yeah, that's one of the classics.
You're like right. Pat Frank. It's a classic. And right. I think that's more accurate than On the Beach, which came out about the same time.
No, On the Beach is a fantasy. Yeah,
that's the truth. And but unfortunately, I think more people recognize On the Beach than they do Last Babylon.
That's because people don't read.
Yeah, that's true. They had a movie. Also, just another comment, another book that's kind of got me thinking a lot was that 1 Second After, too. That's a more recent one.
Yeah,
but
yeah, there's a follow-up to that, too.
There's two follow-ups.
Yeah.
I read them all. Yep, I enjoyed them. But another thing is I'm thinking back in the 80s when they had that no nukes program going through, you know, they were wanting to, I was teaching at a community college at the time, and boy, there's a lot of people there wanting to know my position and everything. And my position was simple. I said, hey, I don't mind getting rid of a few, but I want the Russians to get rid of some too. You know, they want to deduct, we can deduct until they do. I'm not going to do it. I'm not for doing it. You know what I mean?
Right.
That was just, I thought that was a reasonable position, but these people were nuts. They were unreasonable completely. I think basically that was a sign of the communists had taken over our colleges and universities.
They've done that to many of them, and Jeff knows that firsthand.
Yeah, Jeff does, doesn't he? But I think that's, you know, you could tell when it started back in that time period, they was taking it over, getting their communist
Absolutely.
Agenda. And
right.
I appreciate Jeff on the air. He's one of my favorite ones to listen to. And
okay.
I appreciate his patience. He's, some of those guys get after him pretty good, but he's quite patient. He's more patient than I'd be with some of those idiots. At this point, they're brutal towards him. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, thank
right.
you, Dan.
Very good. Thank you.
That's a great call. Thank
yeah.
you, Dan.
You have a nice
okay.
day.
Okay.
Yeah, bye.
Okay. It's nice to be appreciated, isn't it, Jeff?
Yeah, because it usually doesn't happen very much.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Our next caller is Mark in Arizona. Good morning, Mark.
Good morning, John, and good morning, Jeff. Jeff, about a month ago, I was at a meeting with Dave Hodges was at, speaking,
mm-hmm.
and there was a gentleman in the audience that said that Putin was not a Marxist. Can you explain that to what he made a meant?
Well, that's what a lot of people are led to believe. Putin is kind of misleading in his behavior. For example, he talks about this this cross that survived that his mother gave him. A fire. He talks about being a Christian. He, although when he was on Larry King and Larry King asked him for a Christian testimony, he wouldn't give it. And in the year 2000, it was the first time he was on Putin was on an American interview program. and when Larry King, very frustrated, couldn't get a Christian confession from Putin, he said, "Well, what do you believe in?" And Putin's answer was, "I believe in the power of man," which was a communist answer. So when Putin went to Cuba for the first time on a trip, a reporter asked him if he was a communist, and his answer was, "Call me a pot, but heat me not." More recently, Putin has said that he did not burn his party card, that he didn't join the Communist Party because he had to be in the KGB. He joined it because he liked communist ideas. And I've heard him in town hall meetings where he has told his Russian audiences that he believes in Christianity, but that Christianity is essentially the same thing as Marxism.
Really?
So you're going to have to draw your own conclusion. But my conclusion, and I, you know, I've talked to people who were in St. Petersburg. One married a general who was part of the circle that Putin was in, and another was a defector who was from that same place who knew of him or knew him personally, that he was a true believing communist back in the day. So people don't really change that much. And I think there's good reason to believe that the Soviet Union, Communist Party Soviet Union underground still exists. And people in Ukraine and other countries have talked to me about the structures still exist. The nomenclature is still there. The same families rule everything. So it's not, a lot of things were changed for appearance's sake, and they did make changes, but those changes were under control of the same people.
Thank you. I have another question or another comment, if it's possible.
Go ahead, Mark.
Donald Trump, friend or foe, I've been watching this from a critical thinking point of view, and I just see people always foaming at the mouth at the when he does a rally or something like that. But I've begun to realize, I've been reading a book by Dr. Andrew Hupp about the Wuhan virus. And a very fascinating book. I recommend everybody read that book. And one of the things I've come to the conclusion is that the reason that Trump is attacking, I think one of the reasons that he's attacking DeSantis is because of Governor DeSantis is going to have a grand jury investigation or an investigation in his state on the vaccine and its effects. And I think they got Trump caught with his pants down on this vaccine thing. Many people don't know that at his inauguration rally, back when he was inaugurated the first time, Pfizer gave him $1 million for that rally, for that event. So I have my suspects about Trump. I really don't think he makes very good decisions, and that concerns me. But this deal about hitting on DeSantis is a real problem. What's your comment, sir?
Yeah, that's very interesting. Yes, I happen to know that some of the people high up in the administration around Mr. Trump have connections to Big Pharma, too. And I don't want to name any names, but there is this why did Trump go to the vaccinations when really the best judgment was you don't vaccinate in the middle of a pandemic and you have a coronaviruses are not the kind that you can safely vaccinate for. They'd never had a successful, you know, really successful coronavirus vaccine, I don't think, for an animal, you know, let alone for people. So this was a very strange thing that happened politically. And then you had these virals, these antivirals, you know, that Trump was trying to recommend, but everybody was shouting him down. So I think Trump himself was under a lot of pressure. And I think for whatever reason, you know, you've got the documents out of Pfizer showing that, you know, there a lot of money, you know, went to people in the National Institutes of Health and the CDC, to these bureaucrats. And I'm not sure how it works that people like Fauci can actually, you know, themselves have investments in medical technology and get money from it. That just sounds like a conflict of interest to me, you know. But you read about this all the time. Robert F. Kennedy Jr.'s book is full of this kind of thing. And of course, I don't, you know, nobody sued him for slander yet. So, you know, you gotta think there's a lot of corruption here, which is very problematic because a foreign power like China that has Fuzon International Limited, their big pharma company, which is a huge conglomerate, getting in bed with Pfizer. I mean, we know we have the documents, you know. So now we know that the Chinese pharmaceuticals were involved in making the Pfizer vaccine. Well, you can't have an enemy country who one of their top generals 20 years ago said, yeah, we want to kill all the Americans with a bioweapon. You can't have them making your vaccine. I mean, that's just crazy. You know, that's like an open door to an attack. Oh, this is going to go in the arm of every American and we're making the precursors for the vaccine. No, this is just brain dead to allow this to happen. So I think President Trump is, to be honest, he's naive about China. You know, when he met President Xi and it came to Mar-a-Lago, he talked about him in a very naive way. President Xi is a fan of Hitler and Stalin and Mao. Those are his three heroes. A guy like that, it should not be your friend, is the way I see it.
Well, I certainly agree. Mark, any follow-up question or comment before we move on here, sir?
Yeah. In that book that I was reading, I was going to tell you that Andrew Huff says that the game of function wasn't caused by the NIH. It was done by the Department of AID, the State Department organization.
We'll get a response from Jeff. Mark, thank you for your call. We're going to wrap up the show here in just a few minutes. Stay tuned, everybody.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen planned to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
In times like these, you can't depend on the government to keep you warm and fed, but you can depend on the Vermont Bun Baker to do just that. With the Vermont Bun Baker, you'll never be in a situation where you can't cook, bake, fry, boil water, or heat your home all at the same time. One of the most revolutionary cook stoves, wood stoves ever, the Vermont Bun Baker is available with or without soapstone veneer, a natural stone that retains heat and radiates it back into the room once the fire is out. A beautiful addition to your home, the Vermont Bun Baker has an efficiency rating well above 75% and qualifies for the wood stove tax credit. For more information, watch the Vermont Bun Baker on YouTube and live stream or visit us at www.vermontwoodstove.com. You can also reach us by calling 1-866-SOAPSTONE. Don't ever be hungry or cold because the power's gone out. With a Vermont Bun Baker, all you have to worry about is what's for dinner.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Barron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote With Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Fix bayonets. Nicole Colgren, wherefore many men have gone.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. We're back. We're back. Jeff got about 2.5-3 minutes here to summarize your thoughts today, sir. You're on mute, Jeff.
Yeah, the conversation's been kind of grim today.
It has.
Everybody's worried about nuclear war and EMP. Since war is a matter of policy, as Clausewitz said, it's the extension of politics by other means. It's one of the reasons it hasn't happened is that there's a lot of blowback when you do bad things like this. And so we don't, you know, the war in Ukraine, just look at the global economic effects with the grain not coming out of Ukraine and Russia and the fertilizers being cut off. And, you know, there's just and then the gas not flowing into Germany. So, and that's maybe just the beginning of the effects on people. And so when you get people concentrated on a problem like a war in Eastern Europe, they are thinking in ways that they haven't, and about things that they don't normally think about. And the big surprise in Europe is that most of the experts that I know thought that if this war had happened, nobody would have lifted a finger for Ukraine. Everyone thought all the governments were going to just let it go, that it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth the danger and the economic inconvenience. What was surprising was the way Europe, not the U.S., because Biden really hasn't been an effective leader in this area, is the way Europe reacted and the way Poland kind of led a lot of countries and Great Britain, Boris Johnson. And the feeling of the people in Europe about that for the people in Ukraine and what they're willing to do in Germany, it's rather remarkable what's happened. It's one of those unexpected things that has really changed what many of us thought. I thought that probably if Russia wanted to take Ukraine back, there was nothing anyone could do. But I've talked to Ukrainians who said, well, they could roll Ukraine back in a fortnight and reform the Soviet Union. A Ukrainian told me that more than a decade ago. He thought that that was the plan. And I think it has always been the plan, but that plan has been stopped by human beings, mostly by the attitude in Europe. And so if people want to know why there's a war and the Russians can't win it, it's because there's a whole continent there. Not just the Ukrainians, but the people who want to support them in Poland and Lithuania, Romania, Britain, Finland, Sweden. You know, countries like Sweden and Poland are giving their Leopard tanks. And so when it's important to people and countries help each other, you get resistance.
Roger that.
And that's why we're here. And I don't think that Putin is going to start a nuclear war this month. Because okay. You can't get through Ukraine.
Yeah. Jeff, thank you, sir. We appreciate it as always, and we look forward to talking to you next week, sir.
All right, thank you.
That's it for the day. Get medical supplies, your energy, cleaning, essential oils. Now while you can, your firearms, ammunition, never, ever give your guns. Please have a fun, safe, productive day. And God bless my beautiful snow-covered county of Crawford County, Missouri, the lovely state of Missouri I get to live in, the even larger, beautiful state of Texas. And Lord, please, God bless the United States of America.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle